What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Built Different podcast. My name is Zach Clinton. I'll be your host, and as we continue to grow, I'll have friends joining me each week to interview some of the leading experts in the fields of motivational speaking, mental health, ministry, and even sports. Our goal is to instill hope, encouragement, and motivation in and through your life today, and our prayer is that after each episode, you'd be more equipped and encouraged to look, love, and live more like Christ from the inside out. That's our definition of what it means to be built different. So I hope you're ready. You better buckle up. Let's roll. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to this week's edition of the Built Different podcast. And this week we are closing out our month of motivation, and we could not think of anyone better than today's guest. Joining us today is Dr. Rick Rigsby. A quick bio on this guy. He's a best-selling author. He's an internationally acclaimed speaker. He's a podcaster of the How You Livin' podcast. And this dude is a straight up hope dealer. I'm telling you guys, he brings such passion, such energy, such wisdom to the podcast today. And this is a guy, really, at the end of the day, Garrett, who he has, you know, so many titles, so many things to his name, but he understands loss and grief and challenge and adversity. What did you think of the podcast?
I love the interview today because we just get some practical wisdom on how to apply the truth of God's word in difficult seasons, yeah, and in great seasons, but all pointing to Jesus being our one and true hope. So you guys, I cannot wait for you to you know, just buckle up and listen, yeah, to the incredible things that Dr. Rick Rigsby has to say. And I hope you're encouraged and that your life is transformed because of what God does in and through the interview. So let's go now to our interview with Dr. Rick Rigsby.
Dr. Rigsby, thank you so much for joining us today.
I love it every time I get to talk to you, Zach. And what an added bonus to have Brother Garrett join us today. What's up, Garrett?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're glad to have you, Rick.
Dr. Rigsby, we are so excited to have you. Truly, one of the joyous occasions of our life and of our day is getting the opportunity to sit with you, to hear more of your incredibly powerful testimony, but also just to hear some of the lessons you've learned along the way. I want all of the listeners to know how much love and appreciation we just have for you throughout all the years of getting to do ministry together. And we are so excited to have you come into our Ignite Men's Impact Week and coming up here March 10th and 11th at Thomas Rowe Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia. We were just texting the other day. We were just talking prior to this. You have a message and a word from the Lord on your heart to share with those men. Do you mind just giving us a little flavor, a taste of what you're going to be sharing with us as our closing speaker there on that Saturday?
First of all, I have to tell you, Ignite is one of the highlights of my year. And it's not just because you folks do an outstanding job running it. Those men come hungry. And this particular weekend, the Lord birthed in my heart a message late last year. And the message is inextricably connected to my own story, a story of tremendous loss. And how do you pull up out of the miry pit? How do you keep going? And how do you find hope? The Lord said, a lot of the men coming need some encouragement. They need to be celebrated. They need to be uplifted. Here's what the Lord wants me to talk about. Of all the books of the Bible, I'm going to Job. Ha! And I'm going to the last chapter where Job simply says, after complaining for chapters, after struggling with what is it all about, God, as you know, holds this sort of celestial court, but Job can't talk. All he can do is listen to the Creator. After that session, Job says, you know, I've heard of you with my ears, but now I've seen you with my eyes. Mm-hmm. And what I want to get into the hearts of the men is this one thought. The storms that we go through are necessary in order to see the Savior. And when we see the Savior, I'm talking about that quiet moment every single day that's not interrupted. When we see the Savior, I'm talking about savoring his presence. I can feel the Holy Spirit, even as the three of us talk right now.
Right.
When we see the Savior, we can't help but experience his hope and his encouragement. Come on, somebody.
You better
stop me right now, baby. I'm ready to preach it now.
The altar call might happen sooner than right. We expected. It and, might happen on the podcast.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Because somebody listening today, I guarantee you, Garrett, somebody listening today is saying, you know, they have no idea what I'm going through. We don't, but God does. And I will tell you this right now on this podcast. If you can just wrap your head around this one thought, God is allowing trouble for one reason, for you to draw closer to him, to trust him more, to obey what he tells you to do. Let him take care of everybody, everything else. Right. But he's drawing you in at this very moment. Oh, friend, if you can see that, that's a game changer.
That's right. You got that right.
Yeah.
We are no stranger to hurts, hangups, hardships, storms, you name it, Rick.
Come on.
You specifically, though, have an incredible story that we're going to dive into. But when I think of Rick and I think about the presence of Dr. Rick Rigsby, there is a infectious joy.
Yeah.
There is a fierce, ferocious fire that the Holy Spirit has indwelled in you that no matter who you're around, where you're at, what event, there's a move of God happening.
Yeah. Amen.
And like I said, there's this is incredible joy. And so, Rick, as we're talking about, as we continue to dive into your story, as I explain to our listeners who you are and what it's like to be around you, with that passion and that fire, what is the fuel? What is fueling that flame inside of you?
I'm so glad you asked, Gary. Great question. You know what? When I was y'all's age, I thought I was a player. I thought I was a Mac Daddy. And it took struggle to get that ego out of me. It's been said that ego is the anesthesia that deadens the pain of stupidity. Mm. When I was in my 20s and 30s, it was all about Pretty Ricky. I was in television. I thought I was all this and all that. And then all of a sudden, I get the opportunity to go to graduate school, and I'm a professor winning awards. I'm on a Division I coaching staff, and it's all about me. And I didn't mind it. In fact, God, I'm even called to preach. This is 30 years ago. I'm called to preach, and God would whisper in my ear, and I would reduce his words to manageable proportions. And then she got sick. And then she passed away. She, the pronoun, refers to my college sweetheart and the mother of my two children. Trina got sick in 1990 and went home to be with the Lord following a six-year battle with breast cancer in 1996. All of a sudden, ego can't save you when you're standing in front of a casket. Right, ego can't help you when you go home to an empty house and the three of you, your two boys and you, are in the bed at night crying yourselves to sleep. And it was at that point where the scriptures started to mean something. Why? Because friends can't help you. The flowers have faded. The cards have faded. The phone calls stop coming. And you're crying out, God, God, why? Why?
Yeah.
And just like in the life of Job, there was no answer to the why. You want to hear what God said to me through his Holy Spirit? Do you trust me?
Mm.
Because if you trust me, I will take your pain and I will turn it into a showcase for my power. And even told me, you'll go all over the world, not reflecting your glory, but revealing my power. I want to tell you, now I'm summing up those few years after Trina passed away to tell you this. I had never experienced unspeakable joy until I went through devastating hardship. Let me put it to you a different way. I think it was Tozer who said on one occasion, before God can use a man greatly, he has to hurt that man deeply. Yep. I'm a witness.
That's right.
Yeah, that's where that joy comes from, Garrett. It literally comes from a struggle that worked pride and ego out of me. Any men listening? I would seriously recommend you not to go through the struggle.
Right.
That's right.
And, you know, you can either do it God's way or you can do it your way. My way was boasting, bragging, making it all about me. And you know what? There was enough trouble allowed in my life. A lot of people don't get this. God allowed the trouble in Job's life. There was enough trouble allowed in my life to work all of that flesh out of me until all I could depend on was God, who, by the way, is really the source of my strength and the source of my joy.
Mm.
Yeah.
Dr. Rick, it's so encouraging, I think, to hear, because something that my dad always told me growing up was that God loves to use our moments of powerlessness to draw us closer to and to reveal the character of his heart.
That's exactly right.
That's what God does with our pain. And in and through that, right, with the right perspective, He can help us see our full potential, or he can give us and maybe rebirth a new purpose inside of us.
Yeah.
And so, Dr. Rick, what God has allowed you to do is you've reached mountaintop type of moments, right? From that were kind of birthed in the valleys of life, and knowing that people, we all face difficult times, difficult seasons. Obviously, not only did you rely on scripture and God's word first and foremost, but something that you're known for is that you're able to cling to some lessons, right? That the wisest man you've ever known was able to teach you. And I know a viral video is out there of you. It's called Lessons from a Third Grade Dropout, right? That you gave at a commencement ceremony. Sir, yes, sir. I was just wondering if you would be gracious enough to share a couple of those lessons and how they helped you endure the valley-like seasons of life.
I'm smiling, Zach, because when I was growing up as a kid in the 60s, I would rather watch Gilligan's Island than to hear another lesson from my dad. That's a reference y'all might be too young to remember. But at any rate, what my dad just literally drilled into me now brings tears to my eyes. Son, don't judge people. I can hear him now saying, I've been all over the world. I've seen good and bad in every shape. In every shade as well. And he would say, the minute you start judging someone is the minute you stop impacting them. Jesus, that sounds a lot like Jesus, doesn't it? Number two, son, you'd rather be an hour early than a minute late. Number three, son, I want you to be kind to people. Mother Teresa said on one occasion, be kind to people, even if they're not kind back toward you. The next one, how you do anything is how you do everything. Son, it's never wrong to do the right thing. Son, be a servant. Make sure your servant's towel is bigger than your ego. I'm thinking right now of John Wooden. You remember the basketball coach from UCLA back in the day? 10 national championships, 7 in a row. But he was found during the week going into the custodian's cabinet, getting a push broom and sweeping his own gym floor.
That's right.
Son, make sure your servant's towel is bigger than your ego. Son, whatever you do, be excellent. He used to say it this way, if you're going to do a job, do it right. And grammatically, that's not correct. I could care less. I got the point. And then the greatest lesson, the lesson that he spoke to me in front of my wife's casket, when I said, Dad, I've lost hope. Listen to this. The greatest, most enduring lesson was in a funeral home. When I said, Dad, I've lost hope. My dad said, you can't lose something God gave you. Right. You haven't lost hope. You've lost perspective. Now, son, just stand. Mm. Those are the lessons. And can I tell the audience something, y'all? People think, well, the only people that can have that kind of impact are people that are well-known. My dad wasn't known outside of his family and his work environment. And yet he's being quoted on every continent in the world. Right. You live a righteous life for Christ, walking humbly before him, Micah 6:8, and your influence will grow to the point that you'll impact everyone and everything around you.
That's so good. That's so good. You know, in the lessons that we've learned from our parents, you know, you mentioned from your parents, like God is working together in our own stories, ways that we can impact and that we can influence others. So I love that you live that out, Rick. You know, they're not just lessons you've learned, they're lessons that you live. And that's the model that you display to us every time we're around you.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful for that wisdom. And I hope our listeners just press into that that moment, in this moment. And, you know, you mentioned one of the most difficult parts of your story is losing Trina.
Yeah.
Her battle, you know, with cancer. And so, you know, you talk about the lessons you learned from your father and the lessons you learned from him, especially in that moment. But there are some lessons you learned from Trina in her life, especially in her last moments.
Yeah.
There's a quote that I've heard you say that's from her. And, you know, in her last moments, she says, you know, it doesn't matter how long I live. It matters how I live.
Yes.
And Rick, for you, you've really based your life out of that by asking the question, how you living?
Yeah.
Tell us more, you know, press in with us for our listeners. Why is that so important? And how does that impact you? And how can that impact us today?
You know, I so appreciate you asking that, because I love the way the Holy Spirit works. The three of us are doing a podcast, but there are people that will be listening that just really need to be encouraged. So listen to this. I can remember the day as if it was yesterday, though it was 27 years ago. And I'll save several paragraphs and get right to the point. Trina is in the last few days, barring a miracle, the time of her departure has come. And we had just gone to the doctor and the doctor says those words that you only see on television or in the movies, go home and get your affairs in order. We still believed. And we go home. I'm making some soup. Trina's sitting on the couch. Our then youngest son, Andrew, walks down the stairs with a wrinkled shirt. And I heard Andrew say this, "Mommy, my shirt needs ironing." And Trina said, "Andrew, I'm not always going to be here to help you." She was saying goodbye. I waited for Andrew to leave, and I walked over and I sat next to her on the couch. And I saw in her, listen to this, I saw in her eyes a fierce determination and a hope. This is a woman that is dying. And I saw a fierce determination and a hope. And that's when I held her hand, and that's when she said, "It doesn't matter to me any longer how long I live. What matters most is how I live." And to answer your question directly, Garrett, in that moment, a dying wife taught me how to be a godly man. She was teaching me how to live and how to die right there.
That's powerful.
That's so powerful, Dr. Rick, because at the end of the day, I think there's people out there today who can maybe resonate with that feeling of feeling like they're out of the fight, like feeling like they're beaten down and they're wounded, their back's pressed up against the wall, they're sucking air, they're drowning, right? They can't even take another step. Like you said, I love that quote that you've mentioned, right? "I've lost hope." To your dad, he said, "Son, you can't lose something that God already gave you," right? Yeah. You haven't lost hope, you've lost perspective.
Yes.
You delivered probably one of the most powerful messages I have ever heard a couple of years back at our River Conference down in Prestonwood Baptist Church in Texas. And sir, there were four prerequisites of hope that you mentioned that I would love for you to kind of go over today to help somebody in order to take the next steps to cling to hope in a difficult season of life right now, today, in this moment.
Well, you know, first of all, I remember your dad opened up that conference, Zach, by saying, we're not in a mental health crisis. We're in a mental health disaster.
That's right.
And it just occurred to me that a crisis doesn't make you automatically a leader. A crisis reveals the need for leadership.
That's right.
And, you know, if my memory serves me correctly, I believe then, and I still believe today, that the prerequisites really do include living with perspective, speaking with clarity. I believe it. They include also listening with caution and modeling hope. Can I go to the first one? It's easy today. It's easy to lose perspective. Just watch the news. Just read an article. Just stream your favorite program. At the time of this podcast, that we're recording this podcast, there have been several shootings over the weekend and several fatalities from those shootings. We have storms. We have children killing parents. Every imaginable atrocity is occurring. Anybody can speak to the urgency of the hour. Anybody can speak to the exigence of the moment. But a godly leader somehow can point people to a brighter day. I'll give you an example. I studied Martin Luther King for 30 years and taught a class on the American protest movements during the civil rights movement. He would always talk about the beloved community, a community that someday would feature whites and blacks living together and playing together and praying together. What's minimized in that is the fact that his life was threatened. You ever had your life threatened? I have. Sleepless nights. What's minimized is all of the aggression against him. It doesn't matter where you line up in terms of the aggression. When you are feeling the weight of the world, but yet you have the ability to say, God is still on the throne, that's perspective. Speaking with clarity speaks for itself. Listening with caution speaks for itself. But how about modeling hope? Oh, baby. Oh, hope is not wish fulfillment. Hope is not, gosh, I hope I get a parking spot. No. You know, when I see in the Bible, yet he slay me, though I will trust in him. And then I look deeper, and that word trust means I will hope in him. When I see in the Bible, I dare to hope in Christ. That tells me that hope in our vernacular has been relegated to the basement of human emotion because of our casual use of it. But in God's world, Hope is an expectation that he places within our DNA that really does cause us to anticipate something good to happen. He doesn't give us a future and a nightmare. He gives us a future and a hope. That's why I define hope as a quality within each and every one of us that places a demand upon us to believe for the absolute best outcome. I'm getting ready to get on an airplane real soon. I don't want to get on an airplane if the pilots don't have hope. Come on, somebody.
Come on.
Come on, y'all. Right. I don't want to be part of a podcast if my hosts don't have hope.
Right.
Why in the world would I want to be on a ball team if the coaches don't have hope? Right. You know, I love watching championship football just like y'all. Oh, y'all know a lot of the players, right? You know what I love? It doesn't matter what the record is. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how much you think Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals are an underdog. Mm-hmm. I love hearing we have an expectation that we're going to win the game. How much more ought Christians have an expectation that no matter how much the trouble, no matter how severe the storm, my God will provide all my needs. My God will be a shield about me. He will lift up my head in a time of difficulty. Mm-hmm. And so, baby, I could talk about those prerequisites a lot longer. I hope that kind of answered the question.
Perfect.
Did I remember them correctly in order? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That's so awesome. You know, Rick, we know the author of the story.
Yeah.
We know the sustainer of all things.
Yeah.
The one that's holding the universe in place.
Yes.
You're telling the waves where to go and where to stop and telling the sun when to rise and when to set. That same person we know is the one that instills within us hope.
Yeah.
And for our listeners today, this week, we're wrapping up a series on motivation.
Yep.
And I believe here, you know, in this moment, closing out with this idea that hope is our motivation to keep moving forward, to keep pressing forward in the year of 2023 and doing the things that God is calling us to do. Rick, we love closing out the podcast this way and giving the mic to our guest.
Yeah.
And in saying, hey, we have hope and it's in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And as we are motivated by him to do the good works that he had called us to do ahead of time, we're asking you in this moment, would you encourage our listeners?
Would you give us
a word of wisdom? Give us something, Rick.
Yeah.
I sure will. I remember being so low that I didn't think I was going to climb up. And keep in mind, Trina passed away when I was a pastor 27 years ago. So I knew the word. I understood clearly the theological underpinnings that surround and support the Bible. I understood all that. But you're not thinking with a theological mindset. You are low and you're wondering why and you're wondering where. You're wondering why, God, and you're wondering where are you, God?
That's right.
If that's where you are right now, I've got great news. There is one thing that supersedes the why and the where, and it is the who. Now listen to me very carefully, those of you that are struggling right now. There's a genius inside of you. That genius is called the Holy Spirit. You see, talent will cause you to hit a target that everybody sees, but genius will cause you to hit a target that nobody sees but you. I didn't realize this at the time, but looking back, the Holy Spirit was in complete control of my life, allowing just enough to take me to the brink so that I could savor the sweet aroma of the Savior. The genius in me, the Holy Spirit that was in me, is the same Holy Spirit that's in you that's allowing the trouble so that you can experience a hope that is not counterfeit, that you can experience a joy that is not rented, that you can experience a euphoria that is not part-time. I'm talking about the only kind of peace, the only kind of hope, the only kind of joy that is worth anything in this shallow, superficial world. And that is authored by God Almighty. He knows your name. He has a future for you. All he asks you to do is trust. I can't tell you or think of anything that could motivate a person more than these words. Keep standing. Just keep standing. You keep standing. regardless of how you feel, regardless of what you see, you keep standing. Hope is on the way, and it's in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You got to go through the storm in order to see the Savior. And I'll tell you, it's worth the journey. And that comes from a man who walked to the casket and the grave of a wife.
Yeah. Just keep standing, even when you can't track or trace him. You can trust him, because hope is a person.
Yes.
Dr. Rick Rigsby, we cannot thank you enough for the impact and the influence you've had on both me and G's life, all of our listeners. I mean, they have been impacted today, I promise. So they have two ears to hear. They have been impacted. So thank you, sir, for all that you do, for the blessing that you are and the willingness that you kind of instill within you just to follow God and to love him with your whole entire heart and to love others very, very well. We appreciate you. Thank you for your willingness to be on the show today.
Thank you so much, Zach, and both you and Garrett know how much I love y'all. Can't wait to be with you and the men coming up March 2023.
Listen, thank you guys so much for tuning in to, what an incredible interview.
It was, Zach.
I am amazed by the story of a man who has lost so much, but at the end of the day, you know, because of the power of God, can live a life and say, it was hard, but it was worth it. I think there's wisdom in that. And closing out this month of motivation, what an example for us to take and say, no matter what, you know, our life has been like, whatever, no matter what we've been through, you know, we have hope. And there's wisdom in understanding that the people that we live and do life with, they've got wisdom for us to learn. You know, I love the story of Rick and his dad, and you know, even the wisdom that he received from, you know, his dying wife, like I'm amazed. And so in all of that, for our listeners today, if you can take away one thing, it's that in hard times, you can have hope, and hope is what's going to push you through and give you the motivation to live the life that God's called you to live.
It's so incredibly powerful to see, like you're saying, G, Dr. Rigsby, who has so much energy and passion and motivation and a heart that like yearns after God after going through such difficult seasons of life. And I think, man, for Dr. Rigsby, there's a quote that he says that has always kind of moved me. And it's, it doesn't have to be okay to believe and proclaim that it's going to be okay. And I love what his dad told him about, man, you can never lose hope, right? Hope, when something's given from God, you can't lose that. You've just lost perspective. I always say hope's never lost. Sometimes it just needs to be redirected. Why? Because the storms in life, as Dr. Rigsby said, are necessary in order to see the Savior. What a powerful word from today's episode. You guys, if you're going through a difficult season of life, a simple principle that I've learned along my path is that pain can either be your prison cell, right, holding you back in the bondage of life, that victim mentality, or man, it can be your passport that will propel you to places you could have never gone without it. So let pain be the passport, opening up doors and avenues and routes to purpose and passion in different aspects of life that you maybe would have never seen otherwise. If you guys are interested in hearing more from Dr. Rigsby, I'm telling you guys, I just want to highlight this again, G, just an incredible opportunity for you guys to join us at Thomas Road Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia, March 10th and 11th. Dr. Rigsby is going to close us out. He's our closer each and every year. The dude gives the altar call. And he is, I tell you, he stomps. He is just as motivating and passionate on stage, even more so than he is in a podcast episode. You guys need to be there. I'm telling you, like I said, March 10th and 11th, Ignite Men's Impact Weekend, Thomas Road Baptist Church, Lynchburg, Virginia. We hope to see you there. You guys, we love being a part of your life. And as always, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for joining us throughout the whole, really, month of motivation. And we look forward to seeing you next time in February here on the Built Different Podcast. Yes.